I'm getting tired of it. Because it's been going on forever.
I think it's ridiculous. I think we should have spring already coming around. I hate this weather.
To spank or not, 1010, a job killer. And oh yeah, what those ladies were saying. The weather. People are tired. Hey everybody, Kate Delaney America tonight. What's the weather like in your neighborhood? Let me tell you, get ready for the potholes. You're going to see a rash of potholes, particularly in those places like New York and Philly and some of the places in the southeast that have been hit pretty hard by ice and storms and snow. That's what happens, potholes. Then you got to fill in those potholes. So I think the taxes are going to be of a big concern to a few people. And I think New Jersey, by the way, already has some of the highest taxes in the nation. So that certainly is not good news. And people are losing their minds. There was a man that was arrested for smashing a guy driving a snowplow in the head with a shovel. Smashed him in the head. What possibly could bring on this version of snow rage? It is a new phenomenon. And this was in Massachusetts. But they cuffed him. They arrested him. I mean, he really full-on clobbered the driver. Could have killed him. Assault and battery. That's a deadly weapon if you use it that way. And he confronted basically his neighbor at a town 40 miles or so outside of Boston. They say that 40-year-old Doug Haskell, the latest snow rager, just lost his mind. He was furious when the plow driver pushed snow onto his side of a street. So he started to get in a verbal disagreement with him and then got so hacked off he just smashed him in the head and the shoulders with a shovel. Now, what good did that do? Now he's in trouble. He's got to deal with the fallout of that. The plow driver was just cut above his eye. Thank goodness he wasn't hit at his temple. And didn't go to the hospital or any of that. So he was arraigned on a felony count. He was released, but now he has to deal with this. And these are the kind of things that are happening to people. I mean, he was shovel ready, I guess you could say. And you know, that's a big thing when people push snow up against the side of your street or block you in. I know this used to happen with my mother. They would stupidly sometimes block her car in. Of course, she was a lady, and she would never have gotten into any kind of a verbal disagreement or picked up any kind of a shovel and slammed somebody with the shovel. But he just had enough. And this is part of the problem. I mean, this is what's happening to people because they're weary of the snow, too. I'm not giving this guy an out. He's a dunderhead to do that. But this is what it's come to because people are having to shovel so much. They're having to deal with clearing out snow. And then when someone pushes more onto you or blocks you in, of course, you're going to lash out. And that's what happened there. Speaking of lashing out, the Republicans for a long time have let their opinions be known, most of the Republicans anyway, when it comes to raising the minimum wage to $10.10. If you even watched a little sliver of the State of the Union address a month ago, you would notice that most Republican members of the two chambers didn't really clap or get excited about an increase, an automatic increase for federal workers, contracted workers, to 10-10. And then the push to say Congress needs to do this. We need to raise the minimum wage, not just a little bit, but a lot. A 40% increase, in fact. So the one will kick in. The one happens. 10-10 will kick in. And would be there by 2016, right around when the president leaves the White House. The Senate is going to start debating this in probably in March. The CBO said, whoa, that this is going to help people and it's going to increase people's net worth enough that they're going to spend it back in the economy and all the reasons that have been thrown out there. The Congressional Budget Office dropped this bomb on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They say that not so. In fact, if you increase the minimum wage to $10.10, if you do that, you will end up costing a million jobs in the American economy, to the American economy, because those people would be ditched. They wouldn't make that increase. So people that are already employed, some of them would lose those jobs, and enough of them would shrink that you would lose about a million. And if not a million, you would lose at least half a million, so somewhere in there. So low-wage workers are the ones that would get eliminated because the people who employ them would say it's not worth it because they can't afford the increase. So the number of workers who would be jobless, you would think, well, they're going to have problems with that again. So that maybe the lower wage people then are back, well, they would be. They're thrown out there and then they're trying to find work again. So you help some, but you take away from others. So the people who weren't even thinking about it, were hanging on to their jobs, now have to worry about the threat of their job going away. And you know how that is. At places where some of these people are working, they're already talking about it. So for all the people who are unemployed and all the people who are barely employed, the last thing they want to hear is jobs being destroyed for the people who really, really need them. So the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, let me say that again, nonpartisan, not Democratic, not Republican, they confirmed that this is, again, another crazy overreach in the guise of trying to help the economy or help the American worker, because that's not helping the worker. So it would kill jobs. And the fragile people that are out there, the fragile workforce types that are out there that would be affected by this would be thrown under the bus. I mean, if it was a little bit of an increase, it probably wouldn't be the same thing. But 10-10, the bottom line is, that's a job killer. It's a job killer. So 16.5 million workers would see their earnings go up to 10-10, but 7.6 million then would probably benefit with a $9 wage. And then the problem is, in adjusting it for inflation and all that other stuff, it would have a big effect on employment. A big effect. So that's the big problem. How do you adjust that? It would have to be adjusted for inflation. How do you adjust that number so you don't have people who lose their jobs because of the wage increase? Because what does it do? It affects businesses. So you know the U.S. Chamber of Commerce isn't liking it. It affects business owners and consumers. Because then you and I have to pay more for whatever it is we're getting. Ah, me, oh my, oh my. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, on the flip side, we're going to talk about spanking, fair or foul. How did you raise your kids? 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. But I can hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today? They say the danger's gone away. But I can see the fire still alight. Burning into the night. There's too many men, too many people, making too many problems. And not much love to go around. Can't see this is a land of confusion. Well, this is the world we live in. And these are the hands we're given. You say to make it a place worth living in. Ooh, Superman, where are you now? When everything's wrong somehow.
All right, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. I'll tell you what, I mentioned the spanking thing, and let me tell you, I exploded with emails. Some of you might have already heard this story, but there is a lawmaker in Kansas. In fact, she's from Wichita, who's saying, listen, we need to cut the nonsense. We need to stop the insanity, and we need to define what you can do as a parent, saying that why shouldn't we define a law that says you could allow up to 10 strikes of the hand that could leave maybe redness or some bruising, but it gives parents a chance to spank their children? Is this an outdated way to discipline? Is this not very effective? Or is it more effective than the timeouts? Which leads to more aggressive behavior with kids? If you ask my grandmother or my great-grandmother, they would say it's ridiculous that you tell a kid, oh, no, that's not right, and tell them to stand in the corner and tell them they have a timeout, that a little spanking would do them some good. Of course, in today's time, the neighbors would probably call on them. it's different than being beaten, being hit with a fist, all that kind of stuff. So this is what this representative is trying to say, that we have to restore some parental rights, for goodness sake. We have to do this because the discipline has gone awry with kids. And why can't we reintroduce this? Why can't we have it clearly defined? No belt, no head, no body, none of that. Just ban that. Fine, keep that all banned. But why can't we have some reasonable physical contact? Why can't we do that? Right now, you can't do that. You can't. You cannot have marks. And if you hit a kid with your hand, I mean, they could, even a little pat, a little swat, they could get red. I think it's an interesting discussion because everybody's always trying to define, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with the next generation? What's wrong with these millennials? What's wrong with the other people coming up? And maybe it's because they weren't raised the way we were raised. We had to walk to school with no shoes and hardships and work 100 hours on the farm. And I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you know, that's always the generation in front of you always says that you're spoiled. But is there something to this whole discipline thing that somehow we're missing it? I think she raises a good point. That why, you know, if you're going to try to define it in another direction, why don't you have some parental rights in there? Why not, at least why not have the discussion? And I'm certain some people are completely outraged. And of course, the danger is of adopted kids and the foster system and the whole possibility of abuse, the concern there, that once the pendulum swung so far to the other side, and does it really discourage a child? Does it help the child? Or do these timeouts or other things actually work better? Got this from Phyllis and said, Kate Delaney, I almost fell off my chair when I heard you talking about spanking. What are you thinking? Who was this person that said we should reintroduce this? What's wrong with telling your kid to go to their room or take a time out? It's the way you say it that makes the difference. It's because some people don't pay attention. When they utter the words, go to your room, they don't follow through and they let the kid get away with it. I think it would be disgraceful if we said you can strike your child 10 times. Imagine what that could ultimately lead to. What could it ultimately lead to? All right. I knew I would get some reaction there. David is listening to us in San Francisco. Hello, David. How are you?
Well, hi, Kate. Things are going well. We just got into a second New Year, so happy Fat Joy.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah,
you too.
We get so many New Years a year out here that we grow by 10 or 20 years, you know, without trying.
Hey,
you know, I was going to say, I was more interested in the minimum wage issue, but, you know, as you're talking about corporal punishment and whatnot, you know, the whole idea of bullies dominating our life, there are basically bullies who are telling us that we not only can't get a raise in the minimum wage, but we can't get services, we can't get fresh water. Apparently West Virginia's got a real problem getting fresh water because they've got bullies dominating their legislature, bullies who say that the regulators can't come in and put a stop to all of these spills. And so the whole idea of authorizing bullies creates further bullies. And so then all of a sudden, you know, in 10, 20, 30 years, we're going to have a world where we're going to have people bullied around so much that they not only aren't going to get any kind of services for all of the taxes that they pay, but they're going to be dominated and extorted throughout their life. So I think that the principle of having some sort of honest relationships in life and not having a life that's dominated by the whip is more the issue.
Not dominated by the whip, which kind of ties into what you're saying. I guess in a way with the whole spanking thing, it almost ties into that. The problem with, it's like I said, the problem with minimum wage. I think it should be raised a little bit. But the problem is, David, if they don't have the money in the coffers to pay for it, then what happens is the businesses will say, and some of them would have a legitimate complaint about this, well, they can't afford that boom. Then the person who's hanging on is all, they're gone. That accounts for a million sliced off, losing their job, just desperate and at a loss for words because something changed that affected them and nobody looked out for them as to the increases. I understand the argument for, but I understand the argument against, because if you have businesses that do that, and I already know because I've got two cousins in this situation, they get lopped off. And especially and you're in San Francisco. A lot of people put themselves through school, help their families, all that kind of stuff. You know that by, you know, being in the service industry, and they're the ones that cannot afford that, and they would be the ones that would get smashed on the head with it.
Well, that's actually a lot of hokum, you know, in the long run, because, you know, these neocons, I don't know if you've noticed how many big mergers are going on just in the last couple of months. Ever since the days of Reagan, when we started giving tax breaks to the rich because they claimed that it would trickle down. Well, it never did trickle down. The whole election of the last cycle when Obama won again was about whether or not we should give money to the job creators. Well, we have been giving money to the job creators, and they're not creating jobs. And they're starving people. And the fact of the matter is now is that people are so broke because prices have gone up so much. Just last year, gasoline went up 18% in 3 weeks' time. And it sure didn't drop 18%. So everybody is paying higher gasoline prices. Look at the natural gas bills people are paying out in the frozen East Coast right now. They were forced up by 10%. Illinois went up 10%, Connecticut went up 14%, and they are not going to raise the minimum wage 14% in Connecticut or 10% in Illinois. That's like organized murder. It's like a fake game. It honestly is, because, you know, you look at the greatest amount of divorces is it's fighting over money. The greatest amount of beating and drunkenness that comes from poverty. People who they lose their dignity. The daddy comes home because he can't find a job and he can't feed the family, so he becomes a drunk and starts beating the kids. So, you know, that's it. Again, the rich are too rich. To give us.
Well, the rich are hoarding the money. David says, thanks, David. What do you think? Save that for the tail end of the show. I did find out that for every 1 million that job creators get in tax breaks, about 75 cents is reinvested.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Watching the Olympics, as you know, we give you that daily medal count here on America Tonight. And there was complaints about the half pipe and the fact that the snow was melting and what was happening in Russia. And there have been others that have complained, too, on the downhill and whatnot, how it's affected the course with, of course, the snow. And then it gets warm during the day and some of the problems that some of the athletes have had. In our virtual green room, we have Professor Daniel Scott, and he's a professor at the University of Waterloo. And the professor says that what's happening is, despite the cold that you feel that's outside in a lot of parts of the country, statistically we're seeing that the temperature at the Winter Olympic sites, which have risen steadily since the 20s, right? But modern technology is what they need to keep an eye on things, and they're using all kinds of forecasting and whatnot because they got to make this snowmaking stuff because they're in trouble, like I just said, with the half pipe and the downhill and all that kind of thing. So what's going to happen when you run out of some of these ways, this refrigeration stuff, to do this. What's going to happen to the Winter Olympics? There's only so much you can do to process that. And the professor is the lead author of a new study that finds only six of the previous Winter Game host cities will be cold enough to reliably host the Games by the end of the century. Wow, that's crazy. Hey, Professor, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So what did you find specifically in your study? Because that is a wild number. It's something the Olympic Committee, of course, does not want to hear. Only six of the previous Winter Olympic host cities are going to be cold enough?
Yeah, well, you've pointed out a lot of the problems. Weather's always been part of the Games from the very first one in Chamonix, and we've seen it in Vancouver 4 years ago when it was too warm to make snow at one of the venues, and they had to bring in snow by helicopter and by truck and put it over top of straw bales, and you've touched on it already. In Sochi this year, while physically they have enough snow, I think one of the American skiers referred to it as skiing in oatmeal, I think is how he phrased it, and we've seen a lot of the complaints. Is that fair for competition? Is that the kind of conditions we want for elite sports at the Winter Games? Many would raise questions about that. And so part of what we looked at is, well, which of the former 19 host cities have been actually, climate reliable to host the Games today? And they all were today, which sort of backs up the IOC's decision to go to Sochi. But when we looked forward, those adaptations that you talked about, be it snowmaking or refrigerated ski jumps, refrigerated bobsled and luge tracks, they have limits. And what we're seeing is even by mid-century, we're reaching those limits in about half of the former host cities. And by the end of the century, as you said, that number under the warmest scenarios comes down to about six. So we'd be left with a lot fewer places to host the Games, or we'd have to start to look to some new regions to be able to host the Games.
Yeah, when you say look to new regions, man, what regions would we be talking about?
Well, some of the ones that were still climate reliable by the end of the century, even under the warm scenarios, in a North American context, so Salt Lake City, Calgary's hosted it in the 80s. Those places, when you think of them climatologically, they're interior continents, they're higher elevation, they've got the Rockies and other mountains, so that makes a lot of sense. And then we have to look around the world at where else might have similar conditions. And so North China is one place where you've got the elevation, you've got the cold. They've hosted the Summer Olympics, but they've never hosted a Winter Game. So that might be one location. And similarly, people have asked questions about Sochi. Why locate them there when you've got all of Russia with its richness of cold climates? Why would you choose there? So other parts of Russia closer to Moscow in their Ural Mountains and other places, those would be prime candidates in the future as well.
Yeah, and as you know, here's what the problem then also, too, becomes with limited places where you can have the Winter Olympics. It's expensive to host the sports. So then you'd have to assume that all of those areas would want to reach out, be able to do that and want to host the Games. As much as people want to host the Games, the more the price goes up, the more difficult. Do you foresee with these things squeezing and coming to a head that they might not admit it publicly, but they might have some really hard decisions to make? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, the IOC's always had a big political process on how you pick where, and you've hit the nail on the head. All of these adaptations that allow us to go into warmer locations like Sochi are very expensive. Sochi's got the biggest price tag at $50 billion. Well, larger that is part of these facilities that you need to make it weatherproof. Not every country can afford to do that, and the IOC knows that. So they've only allowed the Olympic Games to go into countries that they think can actually financially host the Games successfully and leave a legacy to the community afterwards. And when we look at some of these places, even Sochi, 40 years down the road, is that going to be a successful ski area? Are speed skaters going to want to go and compete what is in essentially a subtropical destination? I don't know that legacy will be there, 30, 40 years as the IOC and others would hope. So I think it'll become a bigger part of their decision making, but certainly not an only part. It's a very political process.
Yeah, you're Canadian and you're in Canada, and you talked about Vancouver. Was that just nightmarish when that started to happen? I mean, the Games ended up, they turned out, you did such a great job. Canada really did. But there was a lot of, I think, behind the scenes panicking going on with what was happening at some of those venues. Did you see that?
Yeah, they were forced to sort of improvise and adapt as they went along. Being where you're located that year, they had a great snowpack in January just prior to the games. And then along comes El Nino, and it works its way up the California coast, and it shows up in Vancouver at exactly the time they don't want it. So it actually melted the snow in the North Vancouver, the Cypress Mountain location. So they went from a great snowpack to next to nothing, and that's why they had to import the snow, because it was even too warm to make it with normal snowmaking technology. So yeah, they were flying by the seat of their pants, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about this with the Olympics and what we're seeing, are you also seeing, because you know everybody wants to talk about climate change and where we're headed, what are you seeing from just what you did on this research and whatnot? What do you think the trend is? What do you relate this to, the warmer world?
Well, it's consistent with climate change that we see around the world. I mean, when we look at just these 19 former Olympic host locations, we see that from the 1920s through the 1950s versus the last couple of games that we've had at the beginning of this century, things have warmed up about 8 degrees Celsius, in part because we've gone to warmer locations, in part because the world as a whole is warming up a little bit. And so that's part of a trend that's consistent around the world. And interestingly enough, some of the Olympic athletes and other athletes, you know, had an open letter to your president last year saying, you know, we're seeing these changes firsthand. And when they're training around the world all year round, in some cases, you know, for a 20, 25 year, 30 year career, they're seeing these changes in the snowpack and then glaciers. So the skiers and other winter athletes are sort of at the front lines, and some might refer to them as sort of a canary in the coal mine, that they're observing these changes that we're scientists are measuring around the world. They're experiencing these things firsthand.
Yeah. When you're, I mean, obviously working on this paper was a lot of research and doing that and looking at the winter sport areas and so on and so forth. But Professor, what else at the University of Waterloo, what else are you teaching there? What else are you working on?
In terms of climate change, we have about 60 different members in our climate change center. So we look at everything from what does sea level rise mean to, we've got a big project in the Caribbean, what does sea level rise and then associated erosion mean for some of those areas. We're looking at a lot of the insurance, some of the flooding that we've had in Calgary and some other cities recently that's, you know, similar to when Hurricane Sandy comes through and creates big problems for New York. And what does that mean from the insurance industry? So a wide range of specter of in terms of sectors, from agriculture to insurance to my work in tourism. Coastal areas is a big important one to us. So not just snow and ice. We look at a wide range of different topics up here too.
Yeah, it's interesting. You piqued my interest. I just came back from the Caribbean. What's the danger with the Caribbean?
Well, particularly, I mean, when you're there, I'm imagining you're at a coastal resort, right?
Yeah.
And so the big thing, you're there for some warm temperatures, some beach, and particularly with sea level rise, erosion goes up, it inundates some of those key tourism beaches, and a lot of their tourism infrastructure is right on the coast. So when you get that combination of higher sea levels, plus the types of hurricanes that they can get, that can make a real dent or real damage into their tourism economy. And for some of those countries, tourism's as much as 50, even 70% of their GDP and employment. So anything that really adversely impacts tourism down there, they really feel it.
Yeah, no kidding. And so as you said, I mean, that's the whole appeal of the Caribbean. Can you imagine if that was wiped out? That'd be really tough. And you made the reference to Sandy and then insurance. And, of course, what people were seeing in the Jersey Shore and New York and whatnot is that their insurance went sky high as a result of what happened with the beaches there and the coastal areas and the houses going down. So there are some serious impacts, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in some cases, you know, places might even become uninsurable, not maybe in the States, but in the Caribbean as well. And then at that point, you know, people aren't willing to invest in the real estate in those areas. So that can cause some real problems. But particularly for families, as you mentioned, in New Jersey, if their insurance payout was only half of what their mortgage was, you know, what happens to their retirement fund? What happens to their kids' education fund? So families can be really impacted well beyond the sort of obvious damage to their houses. Their long-term financial future can be really affected, and we don't even know that sometimes.
Yeah, boy, crazy stuff. All right, Professor Scott, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
To this hour on America Tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Let's hope we don't get any more snow. How's that? Got a couple of interesting hits here, including this from FDR, who says, Kate, are you hungover? I am not hungover. I don't know why anyone would think I am hungover, FDR. Hardly. Are you kidding me? Not at all. In fact, if anything, we got a new cough button in our amazing studio. So that's good news, because what has happened to me, like many of you, is you have these colds that linger, because one day it's 75 degrees and the next day it's 30. Then you have 30 degrees for a couple of days and then it's 75 again. It's insane. That's when usually I'm pretty healthy. That's when I get hit with the little frog. It's the worst. You know that dry throat? That person sitting behind you at the movies that's going, oh, I hate that. And you know, you feel badly for the person because then it happens to you. It's sort of like Murphy's Law. Somebody's infuriating you because you can hear that little and then you get it. It is the worst. The worst. We talked to a bunch of people about this whole minimum wage thing. We're certainly not done with it. The big bombshell coming out of D.C. today was the fact that the CBO, keep in mind David and everybody else who's emailing me about it's the rich who are screwing the poor. The CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. They're nonpartisan. They're not Democrats, liberals. They're pencil pushers. They're money people. They're looking at the numbers. Sometimes their numbers are off, but usually the numbers are conservative estimates, if you want to say. I'll say that. So the report that came out says that it would cost at least a half a million jobs. And then you could say, well, what about the other people that would be lifted out of a poverty situation? So, you know, you can look at this from all different angles. And the bottom line is the people who hire, if they decide they're going to lop off jobs, if they decide, well, you know what, I can't afford the 10-10. Call me greedy, call me whatever, but we can't keep this restaurant open, or we're going to push this on to consumers. We're going to charge you more for your pizza, your pasta, your whatever. And we're going to lop off these gigs. That's what we're going to do. We're going to shrink the hours, which is kind of like the Obamacare thing for a lot of people who are part of like a wait staff who are in the service industry. Because remember, you basically are talking working for tips because they don't get paid enough anyway. It's $4 an hour, whatever it is. And then you boost the minimum wage, which then in turn can change that. I mean, the dog is chasing its tail in a different direction. That's probably what it is. I mean, it'd be great if we lived with unicorns in our backyard. I'm not saying this sarcastically. Maybe I am. If all things being equal, wouldn't it be excellent to have a real middle class like it seems that we used to have? Did it seem like we used to have a middle class where people down the street could have 10 kids, but they still took a vacation because they could afford to take a vacation? We live in a different world. And how do we change that? How do we continue to be able to chase the American dream? And I guess maybe that's the question. When we hear these numbers, when we hear about jobs, we hear about unemployment, when we look at both sides of the coin, in fact, three sides of it, because really you could look from the right, from the left, and from the middle. What ultimately, as Americans, do we still want to be able to strive for? And to me, we still want to be able to say we are the land of dreams. We are the land of opportunity where you don't have to come from the 1% to still be able to achieve a piece of the American dream where you can take a breath, where you can pay your bills, meet your obligations, and still take an honest-to-God vacation. I mean, maybe this is the poll we should be taking as we get closer to the summer and have a serious, frank discussion about this. How many people can afford to take a real vacation where you leave everything behind, you enjoy your family or your family's grown friends, your family and extended family, you know, your extended family, that kind of thing, where you can actually go somewhere and not sweat it out as to how much it's going to cost you, whatever kind of vacation it is. And I think there is something to that. Because seriously, I grew up in a neighborhood, and now that I think about it, I grew up in a neighborhood where in the three-mile radius, we had the Greenwoods, they had 6 kids. We had the Jenkins, they had 5 kids. We had the Carbacks, they had 5 kids. It's amazing I remember this. we had the Joneses. They had 13 kids. They took a vacation. And he was not somebody who, the Mrs. Jones stated home, he was not somebody who made a gazillion dollars. So, to me, that's what we don't want to leave behind. But whose fault is it? Why are we in this situation? Why are we in the situation that we're in now? Some of it is regulation. Some of it is. Some of it is ridiculous regulation. I mean, if truly the people who can offer decent wages, decent jobs are saying the corporate tax is too high, so so many of our jobs are still not going to be here in the United States, if you can get them to agree to sign, to get on board with, okay, if we lower the tax rate a little bit, you come back, then all those jobs are happening, right? You're accountable. We're going to hold your feet to the fire on that one. There's no foolproof way to do this, right? What if we rewarded the people who offered those jobs, who in different ways, it doesn't even have to be monetarily. What if we honored them more? What if we did something where we could have more of that cycle of give back? There is definitely a way out of this. And there are definitely people that still employ people and figure out ways to do it. But I think when the CBO says, okay, on one hand, and they're saying that, on one hand it's a job killer, and they didn't use the word job killer, they used, this is how many jobs you'll lose. But on the other hand, then some of these other people will be out of poverty. So it's like everything else. What's in your wallet? It's individual. It depends on your personal situation, on the economics in your world, right? As to whether you're the guy who gets the job because of the minimum wage hike, it helps you, or you're the guy who loses the job because the people you work for say, well, we can't afford it. I don't care what story they're telling you. We can't afford it. We're losing customers. We've got to pass the prices on to them, so we're cutting our staff. And you're the casualty. I mean, every day you hear of places that are lopping off jobs. Is it because they're greedy, the shareholders want more money, or is it because they're starting to get, they're getting strangled by the economy that supposedly is robust if you look at the market? But I don't think so. I don't think we get, that's the problem. I think we don't get a true picture of what really is. Not the rose-colored version of it, but really what is happening out there. I think they should take everyone in Washington and make them take bus tours of different areas to get a sense of what's happening in America, not what's happening inside the Beltway, or not what's happening just with their constituents, because their vote counts across the board, doesn't it? I don't know. Food for thought.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.